whole squad on the mission. You got to listen, we pole politicking. It's so dope when it kick in. You can get in where you fit in. We straight pole politicking. The whole squad on the mission. You got to listen, you know what this is. When we pole politicking, my money long like division. A proposition to put a fist in. We straight pole politicking. Hey yo, I rise like the sun in the east, running the streets. Same people that was coming in peace, summon the beast on the microphone. It's never a long and hard task. For God, I'm gonna smash they blog and podcast. Introduction to journalism 101 with Pharaoh Pope politicking about where I'm from and what I do. What's up? It gotta be good interviewing everybody. You know they probably could take all the blood, sweat, and tears working all them years, putting in 10,000 hours. It empowers careers from the baby and Megan Thee Stallion to Yo Gotti. High as a kite, jet life, currency in the party with MC Light. Jay Prince said I rap a lot. Super Saiyan Black Kakarot with a Macintosh laptop and my Apple Watch, smoking Fraggle Rocks. Four eyes got more lines and hooks than a tackle box.
What?
The whole squad on the mission. You got to listen. We pole politicking. It's so dope when it kick in. You can get in where you fit in. We straight pole politicking. The whole squad on the mission. You got to listen. You know what this is. When we pole politicking, my money long like division. A proposition to put a fist in. We straight pole politicking.
All right, we back. Welcome back to PoleParticking.com, your home for self-help meets hip-hop. But today we're going to say jazz meets hip-hop. But 1212, I'm pleased to be with musician, composer, and teacher, Tatiana Tate. How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm blessed to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. I would say it's an honor. I would say seems like I've been catching a lot of your videos online now, so I would say you're going viral.
Yeah, it honestly happened. Earlier this March, you know, I've always been posting content, but all of a sudden, you know, it's Women's Month. The algorithm was just in my favor. So it's cool.
Well, the first thing I want to ask you, like, how are you even, what makes you, because I can tell that you're a fan of R&B, because I think it's the songs you're picking too. It's like you're picking good songs. So what's your reasoning behind picking the songs you picked to cover?
Honestly, my first ever cover that I ever posted on my page, if you scroll way, way down, it was actually Best Part. So when I first started the trumpet, before I knew any notes or sounds, I just turned on the radio when I was like 8 or 9, and I started playing to a lot of popular tunes on the radio. And over the last 10 plus years, I've developed a catalog of songs I really like. So that's basically how I, you know, pull from what I like to play. And I also think that a lot of songs don't really showcase a lot of horns. You know, we hear everything on saxophone. We hear Kenny G and all these people do a lot of covers, but we don't hear it on trumpet. So I really thought I wanted to reimagine the role of my instrument and show people that it belongs in everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you was in Long Beach, from Long Beach?
Long Beach, California, like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, from the same school, right?
Yeah, Long Beach Poly.
So how was it? Surviving in Long Beach.
Not surviving in Long Beach.
I went to Long Beach a few times, but I always was scared just because, I guess because of Snoop rapping about it, I always was scared of Long Beach.
Honestly, I can say over, you know, growing up there, it's definitely gotten a little gentrified right now. It's definitely not the same Long Beach as, you know, when I was younger. It's definitely, you know, more safer. Still Long Beach, but, you know, it's definitely safer. I'm thankful to have been there because, you know, compared to most places, Long Beach is a melting pot of like cultures and like creatives. Because, you know, when I went to school, you know, you had the Black people, white people, then you had your Samoans, then you had your Filipino people, and we're all just like all collective creatives. So it gave me definitely an arsenal in terms of like the different styles of music I can play.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from Oceanside, so I think they're gentrifying all the beach cities.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they getting all these like, nah. And then are y'all having, because even like I know out here they pass homeless laws, so they can't even, if they catch you like outside sleeping like 3 times, they put you in jail. Do y'all have any homeless laws out there like that yet or no?
You know, it's funny. I'm not 100% sure because, you know, even though I grew up in Long Beach, I still come around, you know, every other week. But I live downtown in downtown L.A. And right now they're converting one of the old hotels into a homeless shelter because the homelessness is that bad. Because right now I live kind of by Skid Row, you know, near MacArthur Park and all that. So it's definitely tough, and it just seems like more and more people are ending up on the street. You know, I definitely think a large contribution was that pandemic, and when people lost their jobs and everything, and some people just could not turn it around, and the government didn't really support us in the way that they should have.
Yeah, I was gonna say LA is worse.
It's bad.
Yeah, they were saying like, yeah, it's just like a lot of people in LA was complaining, and even. What's going on with, are they still like putting all that graffiti on the wall out there on the skyscraper?
It's so funny you mentioned that, because I drive past that all the time. They are still doing it. They're arresting people. I was like, if you're smart, they should have turned that into a whole museum. They should have propped up, open stuff, start ticketing. They could have really made something out of it. And it's like, you're wasting resources trying to get rid of these taggers, but yet you got people who are homeless, yet I can call the cops because someone's trying to break in a car. I actually had to call the cops because somebody was trying to break into the car next to me in the parking lot that I park in, but you're going to take forever to come get here. But you're worried about people who aren't harming anybody, you know, tagging a building that's abandoned. So it's kind of crazy to think about.
Then I know Oakland and San Francisco is getting bad too. So I was actually reading like a lot of people, like it's more people like leaving Cali right now than coming in. Just because the prices and the crime is getting bad out here.
It's funny because for the price that I pay for just a small studio and like the studio the size of a bedroom in downtown LA, I can get the same thing in like other surrounding cities, you know? If I maybe pick Torrance or Glendale or something else, but you know, LA, it's just a mess.
Okay. So then I want you to take us back because I was reading about you. They said you started playing the drums when you were like 5, and then you went to the trumpet at 8. So I just want you to kind of take us back to your musical background and kind of what inspired you to take the path that you're on right now.
Well, you know, believe it or not, I come from a very musical family. You know, my grandmother was a singer, my dad, a musician. A lot of my cousins are musicians and stuff like that. I didn't really, you know, music wasn't really a thing for me. My older brother joined this drum corps when he was in elementary school. So we're 3 years apart. So when he was in third grade, I was in like kindergarten. So I'm seeing him doing the drums at lunchtime. And I was like, I was telling my parents, you know, I want to do that too. And they're like, oh, you got to wait when you get older. So we ended up joining this youth group that was a church outside of Long Beach. And the lady, Terry Moore, shout out to Terry Moore, rest in peace. She taught me how to play drums. She gave me my first trumpet. So she only taught brass. So I was playing trumpet. My brother was playing sousaphone. And we just learned, you know, how to be musicians and artists. And some world-renowned musicians who have come out of there is Braden Akinyele. For those who know about Soul Tone and all that, you know he's one of the top drummers, like, ever. And then Neon Phoenix, who, you know, he worked with Nas and a whole lot of other artists. We all came through that same program. Growing up, so she taught us drums, percussion, and to learn, like, you know, actual brass instruments. So that's kind of how I got my start, you know, and I was following behind my brother's footsteps. And then, you know, I recognized, and my parents recognized, that I really had a love for it, so they pushed me hard, you know. So, and that's why, you know, I'm here where I am in my career.
So did you take like band too? Did you have to be, were you like a high school band and middle school band?
Let me tell you, even just elementary school, I was in the choir. I was in the band. Middle school, I was in jazz band, marching band, symphonic. I was drum major. If it was anything music related in school, you know, I did it. And I did it to the fullest extent, you know. In symphonic winds, I was playing percussion. I was marching drum line 1 year from marching band. And I was drum major my senior. So, you know, anything music related, I tried to just dive, you know, head first. And, you know, even though my parents push me hard, they're always a big proponent of, like, if you're going to do something, you're going to do it with all your heart, with all your mind, to the fullest extent.
And then just for the, I guess, can you explain what's hard? Because, you know, it might be some kids listening, so they need to know what's the, you know, what's hard? Like, how much work did you have to do?
Honestly, my parents would put me in competitions knowing I wouldn't win. Knowing I had no chance of winning, but it was just the experience and surrounding myself with people who are better than me. I went on countless auditions. You know, I auditioned for the Grammy band. You know, I went to Colburn Conservatory and I did some studies there. Colburn is kind of near Pico, downtown LA. They put me in every ensemble, you know, they could think of. They had me playing drums in church. knowing good and well drums was not my calling. You know, I could play a little bit of drums, but, you know, I would nowhere near call myself a professional. But yeah, it was pushing me hard, making sure I was practicing. You know, I couldn't go a day without practicing. They're like, we're going to take your horn away if you don't pull it out and start tooting and start practicing. So, you know, most parents would kind of get annoyed at the sounds of the instruments and everything like that. But, you know, thankfully, my parents really, you know, just wanted me to just go. So, yeah.
And then what made you stay with the instrument? Because I know, like, I don't know your age, but you look like you're younger than me. So, you know, you got hip hop going on around that time as well. So what made you stay with the trumpet? And I remember I was in band too, but I just played tuba. I did it for like a couple of years and I just went to sports or something. So what made you, hey, I really like this and I want to keep doing this?
Well, I don't mind sharing my age. My birthday is actually on the 31st on Easter. So I'll be turning 25. And I will say
happy birthday.
Thank you, Aries. I had a moment when I was 9 years old. It was one of the first times I ended up playing the trumpet in the church. I was playing How Great Is Our God. And for all my musicians, it's only like, I only knew three notes. Ba-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-da-da-da. That's all I knew. And I just kept looping that. And it was the first time my parents put me on the stage in the church with my horn. And I was so nervous. And I only knew a couple of notes. At the middle of the service, you know, after praise and worship's over and we have a little bit of meet and greet and everyone's talking, this homeless man walked through the church and came up to me and he said, I heard your horn and I came in off of the street and I needed to find out where the sound was coming from. And then, you know, months later, that man ended up joining our church and being a part of our worship, you know, and our church family. And, you know, at 9 years old, you know, I didn't really know what it meant, you know, to touch someone musically because I only knew a few notes and I was so worried about how I sounded and the fact that I didn't really know much. But knowing that I touched someone in my young mind, I knew that that was something that I was called to do. And then throughout my career, I've had these instances where people have said that, like, I've touched them, I made them feel something, or like people have cried, you know, after hearing me play certain things. And for people who know me, who see me live, they know, like, I just play with pure, like, emotion. So, you know, that's how I knew that it was, like, my purpose to, you know, play the instrument.
And then did you, because it's not like you just dove into music. So did you even know about, like, the, like, some of the artists? Or did you, like, do you have any, like, inspiration as far as musicians that you look up to, or did you always just play?
Well, you know what, my parents are, you know, fond lovers of music. You know, even before I was born, they were always going to the Long Beach Jazz Festival, Newport Jazz Festival. You know, that was their thing. They were that couple that wears their little sun hats and goes to jazz festivals. Yeah. So growing up, my favorite group of all time, my dad has worn their CDs out. They got little scratches on them, is Earth, Wind & Fire. And my favorite song by Earth, Wind & Fire is Shining Star. So, you know, I'm over here 9, 10 trying to play Shining Star on a trumpet. You know, it's all them high notes and all that stuff. So I would say definitely Earth, Wind & Fire is a big inspiration to my playing. You know, growing up, I love Earth, Wind & Fire, Sade, Beyonce, man. And, you know, I have an old soul. I kind of have that little 70s vibe going on about me. I love Tower Power, Chicago, anything just horn related. I just get obsessed with. So yeah, growing up, I went into a lot of, you know, old school jams. I started jazz. Shout out to Jazz Angels, which is a nonprofit based in Long Beach that I got my first, you know, set of jazz experience. I took my first ever jazz solo on Killer Joe. Only knew three notes at the time. And I went through that nonprofit organization and they taught me, you know, jazz, had us listening to different records. And then, you know, I eventually worked for the nonprofit for about 2.5 years. And so, yeah, that's where I got my experience. And that's when I really delve in to, you know, the jazz language. And then I continued through high school. In college, I got myself a jazz degree in jazz studies. And yeah, you know, professional player right now.
It's cool. And I was going to ask you that. So did you actually, when you was in college, you kept like, I guess that's the thing too. Like, they don't really, I remember when I was in band, they don't really explain your career path. So you don't know, like, hey, I can go to band, I can go to college for jazz or college for this and this. You don't know that. So, yeah, can you just tell us more about that career path and, like, what does that degree do for you?
Honestly, I'm going to always keep it 100 with you. I tell everybody, bebop doesn't pay the bills. This degree is not going to do anything for you. Saying you have a degree in music isn't really saying much at all, because a lot of my work has come from, you know, making connections, showing up on time, being a good hang, being able to offer services to the people that are hiring you. And that's something I had to discover, you know, somewhat in college, but then more outside of college. And I feel like, especially when you're going into school for music, that's the type of education they lack. How do you get gigs? How do you put yourself out there? You know, I was in college. I was gigging outside of college. If I had to miss a rehearsal because I had a gig, I had to make sacrifices. Mm. Not all my teachers were a fan of me because I chose myself and I chose to build my career while in college. So when I got outside of college, you know, I made a name for myself. So that would mean.
Yeah, that's what you should be doing anyway.
Yeah, they don't want you to do that. They don't want you to build. They want you to be cookie cutter, to play all the tunes you want to know, to play all the rudiments, all the scales, all this. And it's like, okay, you learned all this technical prowess. You know, you're a master of your instrument. Now go make money. It just doesn't work that way. And that's what I kind of want to change educationally, is that foundation of, like, you know, kind of like if you think in like the 90s, 80s, like artist development. We need artist development as instrumentalists. You know, people who are not singer-songwriters also need artist development. So that's a journey that I'm experiencing right now, because it's like I've played horn background in a section for so many different artists. Like, I've been playing for a really long time for a lot of people, and people are just now discovering who I am because I'm changing my brand. I'm Tatiana Tate, the artist, the horn player, you know, putting myself on the front lines.
I guess I had a good question. So, because it's not like you already knew what was going on when you hit college. So what made you can finish up and continue? Because you said you got your degree. So what made you get your degree if you already knew, hey, you sound like you already knew what was going on and you didn't need school like that?
Yeah, honestly, if I could go back again, I think I would, you know, continue mm-hmm. with the private instructors that I found mm-hmm. along the way. So I would like to shout out my instructors, you know, Terry Moore, rest in peace, Chris Stevens, Kai Palmer, and Nolan Shahid. You know, I would like to shout them out. What made me continue going to college is because I knew that education was something important to me. Because I had those educators that I mentioned before pour into me, I knew that I was destined to be successful. But not everyone is as fortunate as me to have educators pour into them and to help support them moving forward. So I went to school because I know in the end of the day, I want to have my own, you know, I want to have my own music school. I want to teach, you know, and educate. So I knew that degree was going to get me there. So in order to teach, I had to have that degree. So that's why I ultimately decided to continue.
That's what's up. Yeah, I was going to ask you because I saw that you were the teacher as well. So just let us know more about what you teach.
Honestly, I teach a little bit of everything. You know, as I stated before, I was working at the nonprofit Jazz Angels that specializes in putting jazz education into the schools. So we're teaching like sixth graders how to play C-Jam blues, which is two notes. So they're playing jazz in sixth grade and they're getting excited about a genre of music that's not as elevated as like classical music and all of the other different things. I also have my own studio of students. So there I'll teach trumpet, I teach beginning drums, and then like beginning piano and things like that. So that's kind of, you know, where my education background is. And also, you know, in terms of like the marching band world, I create drills. So, you know, when you see all of the like HBCUs, when they make those different shapes, so I know how to make the little dots to tell them where to go when they're on the field. And then I also am a trumpet coach to try to like, you know, teach them how to play in like an outdoor setting.
And then I just, the listeners, I mean, most should know, but I feel like just jazz and jazz, hip hop has so many elements of jazz in the R&B, like all music, but especially hip hop, like they're so related. And they even had a genre of hip hop called jazz rap, like Guru's a part of it. Tribe Called Quest. So do you listen to any of that? Like, are you a fan of hip hop any?
Am I a fan of hip hop? I am a huge fan of hip hop. You know, I love all artists, all genres, like everything, you know. I'm a big fan of Terrence Martin because I feel like if you're familiar with him, he, you know, bridged that gap. You know, he did a lot of work with Kendrick Lamar. And he did a lot of his albums. Like, if you think of, like, the To Pimp a Butterfly, a lot of that was Terrence. So, you know, I definitely am a huge fan of the hip hop realm because without jazz, you wouldn't have hip hop without jazz. Not everyone's going to tell you that, but I'm going to tell you that. You're not going to have hip hop without jazz.
Oh, somebody said Diggable Planets. Yeah, Diggable Planets too. And then are you still, I saw a video you doing with the quartet. Are you still doing the quartet?
You know, funny enough, and I'm going to keep it real with you because this is what we do. I always keep it real. You know, it's hard to make money with a band. When you got to
be quartet, that's 4 or 5 people right there already.
I'm not just thinking about me. I'm thinking about 4 or 5 other people. So, you know, I took a break from having a band and I kind of marketed it myself as like, it'll be a show. It'll be like such and such featuring Tatiana Tate. So now I'm getting the feature rate and now I don't have to split the money with anybody but myself, you know, which was cool. But I actually have some festival dates. I'm bringing my band back, you know, getting, you know, playing some of my original music. So yeah, the quartet is back. The quartet is back, you know, and I'm very thankful. Over the last couple of years, I met a collective of musicians that really embody the sound that I want to display to everyone. Shout out to Black Art District. So yeah, I'll be rocking with that crew at a couple of festivals coming up. So they'll be backing me and it's going to be really great.
Yeah, I saw you just had a show with, you got a show coming up in Compton.
I do. I have a show coming up in Compton. It's called Jazz in Compton. So
That's hard. I like that.
Yeah, it's really fun. The organization is not even a year old yet. So we've been having events in Moonwater Farm, which is in Compton. And this particular Friday, is going to be my birthday show. So, you know, I'm a part of the group. And I asked, you know, Ahmad, I said, hey, can we make this one a little birthday hang? So, yeah, it's going to be a birthday jam, you know, in celebration of Women's Month as well. We have Perry doing live art. So if you're not familiar, like while we're playing, she's going to have an art piece done by the end of the show, which is going to be really cool. And then we have DJ Case, you know, spinning on the ones and twos, one of the baddest female DJs in all of Los Angeles. She's super great. She's curated a special playlist like just for the evening. So it's going to be a really lit time. We have a couple of tickets left. I will say we sold out of the first set, so we added a couple more. So get them while they're hot. And if you're a close friend of mine, just hit me up if you're trying to get in and we'll figure it out.
And then I would say So what are the goals for your career right now? Like, what are you, I guess is where are you trying to be? Where are you trying to get?
Well, the goals for my career, I try not to put too much pressure on myself. People always say, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Or where do you do this? Honestly, I'm just happy to see the next day. But I will say a goal for myself is to release some original music. You know, I have stuff that I play live and I'm like, let me get in the studio. You know, I had a long performing season, but then I think right now, I'm still going to perform, but I'm also in a creative season. So changing my mindset to, you know, putting the pen to paper and just, you know, putting out all my tracks and all the things that I've been working on over the last, you know, couple of years. That's definitely a goal of mine. You know, I have some dream artists that I want to play for. One of the videos I went viral for was Jasmine Sullivan, Pick Up Your Feelings. She's always been a huge inspiration to me. And I know she just lost her mother a few months back. So I'm sending my love to her. But I also was aware that she's going on tour. So, you know, she's definitely an artist that I have my eyes on. And then, you know, Beyonce is also an artist that I have my eyes on. They always say it's Beyonce's internet. So if you're listening, B, I'm here.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, just growing as an artist is important to me. Growing in my faith is important to me. You know, 6 months ago last year, I had a couple of friends of mine. They're like, really focus on your content, like commit like 6 months of constant content, putting yourself out there. And then if you don't like it, then don't do social media, but take 6 months to really, really commit. And I would personally say I got in a month 3 or 4 when, you know, started going viral and all that type of stuff like that. So yeah, those are just a couple of goals that I have right now.
And then when you say you got your eyes on those artists, are you saying like those are artists you want to work with?
Those are artists I want to work with. Those are artists I want to play for. Those are artists I want to be in the same room with, you know, in whatever capacity, you know, with those specific artists. There's definitely a long list. But yeah, there's a lot of people that, you know, I definitely want to work with and meet. And I know, you know, if it's in God's plan, it'll happen.
And then I was thinking about you because I was like, okay, well, you said you started when you was 8. Yeah. And then you're like 25, so that's already like 17 years. And I know they say the mastery is like 10,000 hours. So I was like, you probably already a master. So I was like, what's motivating you to improve and to get better now?
Honestly, I think because at a young age, I was always surrounded by, like, you know, older, more seasoned musicians. I've always had this constant hunger to be better. Like, I was recording a track right now, and my homie Wayne was mixing it. I was like, no, I got to do another take. I want to be better and better. So I have a lot of self-drive, but also you got to surround yourself with people who are doing what you want to do at a higher level. That's the only way you're going to get better. Because if you're only as good as the circle around you. So that's why I always surround myself with the best of the best. So then I can be the best of the best.
Okay. And then can you talk about some of your favorite moments of your career so far? Because I was looking, I know you performed with a lot of people, and I saw the picture of you and Kelly Rowland. Well, Kelly was in the front. You was like a little bit behind in the performance. So yeah. What's some of your favorite moments so far in your career?
Well, first of all, Kelly Rowland, I know pictures worth a thousand words, but in person, whew, I almost cried. She is so beautiful in person. Yeah. Such a beautiful spirit. It was a really great moment being able to work with her, but also all of my friends were on the gig. So All the horn players, we all knew each other. So it was just a really like fun hang overall. And another moment that was really cool to me, I was really young, Chaka Khan. Getting to perform with Chaka Khan was really, really cool. You know, she's definitely like a strong personality, but very sure of herself. And I always love to embody that, you know, big hair, big personality. That was really cool. A few months back, I got to meet the Herbie Hancock. You know, I was just playing a little wedding gig. And the guy who hired me said, we purposely didn't tell the band it was Herbie Hancock, because, you know, if you tell musicians who's going to be there, we're all going to freak out.
Right.
So yeah, you know, I ended up getting to play for him, and we got to talk, and you know, he got to talk about, you know, my plan and stuff. And whoo, that Herbie was probably one of the top moments in my life. Like the Herbie Hancock, like that's it. Like I don't need to, because it's Herbie. Like I don't need to top that. But I would say another moment would probably be in high school. I ended up winning the Maria Javier Memorial Scholarship, and I believe I was the first girl to win it at the time at our school. And so it was my senior year, and, you know, we had no idea, you know, who was going to get it. It's all, you know, anonymous. You apply and they pick. When they said my name, and I was like, this is a culmination of, you know, me working hard and me getting through all my high school drama. You know, it just, you know, that moment meant a lot to me.
So, yeah, I remember that Herbie Hancock. That was like one of the first songs I remember when I was little. That do 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 do. I was like, "What is this?" And I saw the video. I was like, "Man!" So that was like probably one of the first like jazz songs I remember. Then I don't know. Like now, when I get older, I just noticed they got a lot of jazz on Looney Tunes and stuff.
Yeah, they do.
Like
they
in the cartoons, like they put a lot of music, jazz music, cartoons and stuff.
That, yes, they do. And that's honestly really cool. I'm glad they're still, you know, keeping it in there.
And then I would say, what do you like to do outside of making music?
Ooh, outside of making music, I am a foodie. And I'm fortunate enough to live in Los Angeles, the food capital of everywhere. So, yeah, in between that, I try not to because it's expensive, but I go out to eat so much. If I got paid from a gig, more than likely half that money is going to food. So my friends, shout out to Aisha Eats, Plates with Patrice. So we go out and eat a lot, and like I love to do that, do reviews and check out the latest places. definitely, I think, for me.
Oh, so you give up your places now? I saw our interview. You was like, you don't want to give up your places because it might get busy. I was like, dang.
Look, I don't like to give up places, but since I'm from Long Beach, I'll just give out a couple of local places that I like. So I'm going to just say I love Bacon Broil, John Ward's Bacon Broil on Atlantic. That's probably, that place is actually very nostalgic to me because my parents would take me there after every milestone that like I've ever had. I've had birthdays there. When you get promoted from elementary to middle school to high school, my mom and I would go there. If I'm having a rough day, I would go there. So Bacon Broil's, that spot, got some of the best food in town. Best breakfast, best everything, best pot pies. They got them fresh cinnamon rolls, like made from scratch. The cakes. I love Bacon Broil in Long Beach. Shout out to y'all. I was literally there last week. And then I would say, yeah, that's one of my favorite spots. And then I love Shoots on Atlantic. I think Atlantic just has all the hot spots. That's toward the north side, like near Jordan High School on the north side. They got them fried kimchi butter chicken sandwiches.
Mmm, sounds good.
It's so good. Like, it makes me want to get one right now. But yeah, those are just a couple of spots that I really, really love.
What about like, because you naming all the local spots, you ain't got no national places you like to go to?
National places like Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. What's your national spot?
Like national chain. Okay, I'm a sucker for Chick-fil-A. I don't even know why. Maybe it's the lemonade or chicken. I love me some Chick-fil-A. I love California Fish Grill. Okay, fire. Let's see what else I like. You know, I like In-N-Out. I think I like everything. Pretty typical to the next person. I'm not too picky, but I don't know if they have, I don't think they have these in everywhere, but Simply Salad is really good. I don't think they have those everywhere. That might be just something that's only in kind of like LA. Really good.
What is that about? I don't think they got that out here.
Yeah, Simply Salads, as you would think, they make salads, but they also turn them into wraps. And just all the ingredients and like the type of wraps they have, it's just really good. I mean, I do eat veggies, but I don't eat veggies like that. So it's definitely a place I go to if I want some salad that tastes real good to make me feel like I'm making a healthy decision.
Yeah, we had Soup Plantation, but I think they closed it out here. That's what we had. That sound like it might be similar, but that's the only thing we had.
Oh, Soup Plantation. I don't know if I ever been to Soup Plantation, but it's interesting.
And then what would you say to aspiring? Because I saw you were saying something today. You kind of made a post today. It sounded like you was talking to new artists. You were saying that you have to know your worth. So you said something of that effect?
Yeah, you know, my dad stresses this to me all the time. It's like, you know, you got to know how much you're worth. And people are only going to value you as much as you value yourself. You know, it's been a big thing over the last few years of like musicians taking $100 gigs. Now,
Works for free.
Yeah, basically, the majority of gigs in Los Angeles, a lot of them are low paying. And the thing about it is there's always going to be somebody who's going to take it. Regardless of the price, they're going to take it. And it takes all of us as a music community to say enough is enough and to get paid fairly. And that's all I want to teach a lot of upcoming people is like, I understand in the beginning because I had to hustle. I played for free, or as they like to call it, exposure, for a really long time. And because of that, I got burnt out and I resented a lot of people because it's like, I played for 3 hours and you pay me $50? Like, that's less than minimum wage. And it's like, not only am I playing my horn, a lot of times when I come to stuff, if I'm playing my horn and DJing at the same time, I'll bring my horn, my equipment, show up early. I got to get gas to get to the venue. I got to be there a couple of hours before everyone else, set up all my stuff, play, break it down, do all of this. And now I've invested, you know, at that point over 6-7 hours, and you end up with $50 to $100. It's just, you know, it isn't right. And the crazy thing about all of this is, a lot of musicians are getting paid just as much as we did 20, 30 years ago. So you got, you know, if you think of your regular minimum wage jobs, everyone else is getting paid more, but the musicians aren't, you know. And we're doing things that not everybody can do, you know. I used to work at McDonald's. You could teach anybody to go how to flip a burger, you know, but you can't teach somebody how to play like I do. You can't just replicate that overnight. So just reminding, you know, a lot of musicians to just, you know, respect yourself. How much do you respect yourself? Do you feel like you're worth $100 or do you feel like you're worth $100 million? I feel like I'm worth $100 million and a boat and a yacht and everything in between. So I'm going to carry myself and conduct my financial business as such.
Yeah, they say know your worth, then triple it.
Mm-hmm, quadruple it, everything.
Yeah, that's wild. I don't know. I don't know how they, I mean, but I guess like, how do they, like, cause you say everybody gonna take the gig. Like, how do they prevent from doing that though? Like, if somebody always gonna take the gig no matter what.
Honestly, it's just constantly having that conversation and reminding people. And I know that people see it's funny because you saw my story and then I got like 15 other people who tried to hit me for some $100 thing, like, oh, you know what, you're right, or oh, this, like, a lot of people are seeing it. It's just constantly having that conversation in hopes that it'll strike a nerve. Actually, this was yesterday. I was interested in a venue. You know, they had finally reached back out to me. They're like, okay, how's this date looking for you? And I said, this date's great. And I said, what's the pay for the band? And they say, well, we work on a ticketing system. We don't guarantee any money. Now, first of all, usually 99% of the time, if it's ticketed, I'm already going to say no because I want guaranteed pay for myself and anyone else that I'm working with. Then they said the band gets 80% of the tickets. And I said, absolutely not. I'm sorry, but I will not be participating at your venue because that's a no. You know, you should have, you know, you could do, the least you could do is have a budget for an artist. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not like you got to know about that business part of it, too.
Business part, I'm learning.
And then what would you like to say to your fans and supporters?
I saw a couple of people pop up in here. I just want to say thank you so much. You know, seeing the overwhelming, you know, love, especially on social media, because, you know, March 1st, I had about maybe 5,000 followers. Now, you know, here we are. It was in March 27th, and I have over 60,000 followers, which is kind of like the jump. I'm still trying to like process that. I know, right? Usually when you get a viral video, you might gain a little bit, but like people really rock with what I do, and they're showing me that what I do is special. They value what I do, you know. I think some advice I'll give to people is don't stop, because I got frustrated with the content. I'm like, this is kind of corny. Why am I doing this? La, la, la. But then I found the joy in it. And then I realized that other people like to see you operate in your gift. So when you're operating in your gift and you're doing what you're supposed to do and what you're called to do, it'll open so many different doors. I will say be consistent. And for Women's Month, to all my girls out there, you know, doing music and arts, like keep going, keep putting pressure on these men's necks, keep doing it because you deserve, you know, any and every opportunity that a man has. And I'm thankful that people poured into me and kept telling me that. So, you know, now that I'm here to keep going. And yeah, you know, that's all I have to say.
Now I would say, how long have you been having your hair like that? You got the Angela Davis going.
You know, it's so funny. I met Angela Davis at my school, Cal State Fullerton. I got to meet her. I started rocking the fro when I did a 70s experience called Brass Roots District a couple years back. Was it 2020 or 2021? So I've only been rocking the fro for a few years. Once I found the fro, did the 70s thing, and I saw the look, and I had the fro on the horn. I was like, this feels right. And then I just decided to keep it, and it's been my thing for forever.
Now, so with your social media, did you have a strategy, or you was like, I'm just going to put something out every day?
Honestly, I didn't really have a strategy. I was just trying to pay attention to what I saw other people doing. There wasn't a lot of like people on trumpet really on social media. So like that was plus number one. There wasn't a lot of women playing a horn on social media. That's number two. I just noticed that a lot of people who have followers is consistency. So if you can maybe post twice a week was a lot. I was posting once a month for a long time because that's the capacity I had. So I was trying to post twice a week, you know, make sure you have good camera and good audio quality. You know, I use this exact same mic I'm using now to record. So, you know, be consistent, have good camera and audio quality, and also make sure your posts are very similar. So people, when people see me sitting in the chair and they have, I have the one in ear out, shout out to Juicy Ears. They know what's coming. Oh, she's about to do a cover again. People know what to expect in your content. So once I found something that people liked, I continue to, you know, replicate that. But it does take time, because I'll say I was doing it for a couple months before, you know, my page started getting traction.
So you going to keep doing it for a while? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to keep doing the covers. I think they're really fun because, you know, even though I have a degree in jazz, when I'm creating content, I try to adhere a lot of my playing to the listener. Like, I can just run a bunch of scales and, you know, go all crazy, but it's like, I want to be tasteful. And I also reimagine my role. Like, okay, if Sade let me play this record, how would I solo on it? Mm. That's actually the song I just got finished doing. So I'm going to drop that tomorrow, because people are like, oh, do this, do this. And it kind of challenges my mind, is what I really love. When people give me suggestions, I was like, I never would have thought to do this song. So, you know, that's kind of what I think about. I like it. I love to do the content. It challenges me. It kind of, you know, expands my repertoire. And it's just a really good thing to improve my playing.
Then what are, I know you're on YouTube, and I know you're on Instagram, and I think you're on Facebook, but are you using, I know everybody talking about like a TikTok. Are you using TikTok right now?
I am using TikTok. So all my platforms are the same. My Instagram is at T-Tape Music. My Threads is at T-Tape Music. My TikTok, YouTube, all of that is at T-Tape Music. I think I might possibly start, you know, going on Twitch and other platforms doing music. So I'm trying to see.
Do it live? Yeah, that'd be popular. Yeah,
I think Twitch would be cool live, you know, using this mic and maybe playing to some covers. I just got to test the audio of the best way to, you know, have a trumpet and go live. Cause I did try to go live. I did go Instagram live and I play sometimes, but sometimes a trumpet can come off really loud through the, like the phone, versus like right now I'm going through an interface. So seeing like, you know, the balance of that. So I'm going to try to figure that out over the next couple of weeks.
That's tight. That's tight. All right. I want to say thank you for coming through Politicking with me.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And happy Women's Month.
Yeah, no doubt, for sure. Shout out to the women, because wasn't no women, I wouldn't be here. So, you know, I love women. I wouldn't be right. Without no women. Shit, it'd be impossible. It's impossible right now. But I would say you want to hit them with your website, social media, anything?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for watching. My name is Tatiana Bustown T. Make sure you follow at T-Tape Music. You know, we got Jazz and Compton coming up this Friday. Hit me up if you want any details. And thank you for having me.
No doubt. All right, y'all, we'll be back. Check us out.